Okay. I didn't tell Doug to announce my birthday, but he did, and there's still time for presents. So if you want to get me something pretty nice, that'll be fine. 70, that's a pretty good age. I've never been 70 before in my life. This is the first time. And I have found out recently, is that better? The more birthdays you have, the longer you live. Write that down. That's truth. I have with me my first wife, Lynn. This year, Lord willing, in June the 30th of this year, we'll be married 50 years. Amen? Hello? That's a long time for her to put up with me. And then she just said amen. I could hear. But we're looking forward to celebrating 50 years. Have with me today two special guests, my granddaughter, Abby McCain, and my oldest daughter, Cammie McCain. They drove all the way from Bentonville, Arkansas. Bentonville is where you send your money with Walmart. That's where Walmart is headquartered. And they didn't come down with any money, but they did come down with good wishes for a happy birthday. So I'm glad to be here with you. I bring you greetings from Fulton University, from Dr. Mike Williams, our new president. In fact, he's a sophomore now, it's his second year. From Scott Glees, the dean of our Bible college, and from Cecil May, the dean emeritus of the VP Black College of Biblical Studies. Let's do a Bible. How many got your Bibles? Let's see Bibles. Maybe a phone or something. Okay. How many of you got red Bibles? R-E-A-D, red Bibles. Well, turn your Bible, if you would, or your iPad or whatever you've got for that, to Proverbs chapter 1 and listen to what the wise man said about teaching and about learning. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to whom wisdom, instruction, to discern the words of understanding, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness and justice and equality, to give prudence to the simple, to the young men knowledge and discernment. Why do all that? Verse 5, that the man may hear, wise man may hear and increase in learning, that the man of understanding may obtain into a sound counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the word of the wise and their dark sayings. And then the familiar verse to you, the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, the beginning of knowledge. But the foolish and despise wisdom and instruction. I read that verse because we're emphasizing Christian education. I don't have to tell you that our homes are in trouble. Amen? They really are. In fact, I've never lived a time that there have been more trouble and trials and tribulation about the home than ever before. If you watch any TV at all, and if you see a home setting, it's some kind of perverted home setting where the mama and daddy are kind of buffoons and the children know more than they do. I remember Father Knows Best. That's just not the way it's portrayed today. The truth is, when it comes to Christian education, only 15% of those who are churches of Christ send their kids to a Christian college. Now, here's a number that really scares me. Listen to this. 50%. One half of our young people that are members of the Lord's church, when they reach 25 to 35, leave the church. That's every other one. That's one half of our young group here. That's one half of these boys up here. As the average is, leave the church. So what do we need to do? Something. Something needs to be changed. Something needs to be done. The wise man Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4 in the latter part of verse 12, which was read to us a moment ago, a threefold cord is not easily broken. There's a TV show, or was at one time, about a man that goes around and builds tree houses. Have y'all seen that? I don't mean just like we used to build, but I mean houses in a tree. That's what it amounts to. With everything you can think of, from television to indoor plumbing, the whole thing. Would remind me every time I see the show of back when I was young, and I can remember back then, some of it. We had a tree right in front of the house, an old oak tree, and it had limbs that almost like a ladder. You could climb that tree in just no time at all. And my friend and I, Larry, were going to build a tree house, and we got some boards and would haul them up there and then try. I said, what we need to do is get a rope and pull these boards up. So I found an old rope and tied three or four boards to it, and I was on the bottom and he was up there at the top getting them, and we'd pull those things up. Let me tell you, if you're going to pull boards up over your head, be sure you have a strong, good rope. Amen? We did not, and I have a knot right here to this day that proves it. Broken ropes are no fun. So what are our cords today? What are we talking about? Number one today, and I brought some cords, kind of the visual here. This will represent the home, okay? Let me hang that over a little bit so you can see it. Maybe not. I want to start with the home because that's where everything, that's where Christian education should start. It should start with you mamas and you daddies. We're the ones to start Christian education. But our homes are in trouble. They're being attacked. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. We always read this a lot of times at weddings, but it's good to read anytime. Because the Apostle Paul says in verse 21 that we're to submit ourselves one to another. That's my wife submitting to me, and that's sometimes me submitting to her, one to another. But then he says in verse 22, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, being himself the Savior of the body. But the church is subject to Christ. So let wives be their own husbands, and listen to this, everything. Then he says to us husbands, husbands, love your wives. How much, Paul? Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. It might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. It should be holy and without blemish. Even sought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loves his wife loves himself. No man ever hated his own flesh, but he nourished it and cherished it, even the Lord, the church. Because we're members of this. And then he says in verse 31, that familiar passage, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, they two shall be one flesh. I am glad, Doug, you're going to have the man come to talk about fortifying the home. That's so important. We need strong spiritual daddies. We need wonderful, caring mothers. We need obedient boys and girls. If we're going to be able to stand in this world today, we've got to have strong homes. I walk in the morning. You'd think I'd be slim, but I'm not. Need to walk more. And one thing I like about walking in the morning, about 5 o'clock or so, it's a good time to pray because there's nothing going on. There may be a deer or two in our neighborhood, but that's about it. And I pray for my girls. I pray for their stinking, for the good husbands. And I pray for my grandkids. And I call their name before God every day. I want a strong family. And I think all of us do. I don't think when we come down and say, I do, and yeah, I do, and okay, and you know, all that. I don't think we're thinking we're not going to be a strong daddy and a strong mama. I don't think we're going to think that. And yet, because the cares of the world and business and bills and all that, so much comes in and takes us away from what's really important. Let me just say, did you know in a few days it's going to be February if the Lord wills? Did you know we're almost a month into 2017? Now, young people are saying, seems like it's been forever for me. For us, it seems like that are older. Wow. What happened to 2012? That was a good year for me. What happened to that year? And I'm going to be that strong daddy one when I get the bills. I've got to work extra because I got to get the bills. And I'm going to go and be that mother. But I've got these. Let me tell you something. The kiddos are gone before you know it. And if we're going to have a strong home, we've got to have good mamas and good daddy. Well, number two today, this one's a little bit longer. The church. That's cord number two. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Jesus comes to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asks a question. What are people saying about me? Who do they say I am? And they speak up, well, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're one of the prophets, Elijah. Those men are all dead, by the way. But then he turned to the disciples, who do you guys think I am? I've been with you, you've seen me, you've heard me. Now, who do you think I am? And Brother Peter stands up and speaks like he always does. Why, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. And Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah. Nobody's told you. Flesh and blood's not revealed that to you. But my Father in heaven. Say thou art Peter. And upon this rock, this firm foundation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon that, I'll build my church. And the gates of Hades or death will not stop that or prevail against it. And I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind has already been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose has already been loose on earth. The church. I love the church. I've given my life in proclaiming the goodness of Jesus and his church. And the church today is not what it used to be. We want a strong church, and I mean a strong church, then we've got to be strong Bible students of God's Word. My daddy owned a drugstore in Tennessee 100 years ago, and that drugstore was kind of like our early morning McDonald's. I don't know if you go to McDonald's in the morning, but there's a group that meets in all the McDonald's. I guess it's a special thing you've got to be a part of. And they drink coffee and discuss the world's problems. They have that at Hardee's as well. Well, the drugstore was the McDonald's of my day. And in that discussion, always the men would talk about the politics and about the new president, about the old president, and about whatever's going on. And then they would always get around, somebody would, to a Bible question. I believe the Bible says somewhere about so and so and so and so. And somebody would say, I don't think that's in the Bible. And then they'd say, yes, it is. I don't know. It's in there somewhere. And then they would stop the conversation and say, Carl, that's my daddy's name. Where does the Bible say, or what does the Bible say on thus and such? And my dad, without batting an eye, would always give an answer. He knew his book. I don't know if we're that way anymore. I don't know if we're really strong Bible students of God's Word anymore like we once were. Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God, rightly dividing His Word. 2 Timothy 3:15, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise in salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration, the God-breathed, the plenial inspiration of God. Profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The men of God may be perfect. That doesn't mean sinless. That means mature, perfect, thoroughly furnished, completely furnished unto every good word. If we don't know God's word, we won't know what God wants us to do. That just makes sense. We need strong churches. Let me check my time. Listen to the description that Luke gives, and turn to Acts chapter 2. That's where I'm going to. Acts 2. Verse 41. Here's the early church. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized the same day. They were added about 3,000 souls. Do you know how many were baptized that day? It says about. You know the exact number that were baptized on the day of Pentecost? We just read it. No, not about. The exact number. All that gladly received the word were baptized. Anytime the word's proclaimed from this pulpit, all that gladly received the word and need to be are baptized. How many were not? All that didn't receive the word. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, verse 42, and breaking of fellowship and breaking of bread from prayer. And fear came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and they were all together, had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to every man who had need. And they continued daily with one accord, the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, to eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. In the past 14 years, I've been into a lot of congregations. That's my job. Sometimes preaching, sometimes listening, but a lot of congregations. And I have not been in one where we're adding daily, like the early church did. If you want to make a strong impact on the world, give me a strong Christian family and give me a God-fearing, God-believing church like Dalreda. And the world will take notice. And then number three, it's only three chords, so I'll give you some hope. Number three, the home, the church, and Christian education. Where does the Bible talk about education? All through it. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Because Paul tells a young preacher Timothy, the things I've told you, the things I've taught you, you then teach faithful men, who will in turn teach faithful men. If I might continue, who will in turn teach faithful men? That's what our job is, faithful men teaching faithful men. Jesus was the greatest teacher of all. Matthew said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, for he taught as one having authority and not like the scribes. Mark says in Mark 1, 22, and they were astonished at his teaching, couldn't believe it, for he taught them as having authority and not like the scribes. Same thing in Mark chapter 2, verse 13. He went forth and began teaching by the seaside, and a multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. In Luke 4 and 31, and he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them the Sabbath day, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his words were words of authority. Jesus was a popular preacher. People would go, listen to this, without eating to hear him preach. Can you imagine going to a service and the preacher preaching and you forget to eat? Hello? Some of you have already gone into your purses 12 times. I've seen you get candy bars out. No, not with Jesus. He preached with one with authority. Why a Christian education? Number one, a Christian education has a noble goal. Someone has said the heart of education is educating the heart. I love what Luke wrote about Jesus, about his early life. There's really not very much about his early life. Well, his birth, just a few verses. When he's 12 years old, a few verses. But there's one verse in your Bible that tells you all we really need to know about the early life of Jesus. It's in Luke. It's the second chapter. It's verse 52. It says that Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and favor with God, and favor with man. He grew up mentally, physically, socially, and spiritually. And that's really what we want people to do when they come to Faulkner University. Christian education offers dedicated Christian teachers. Let's see, is Ote here today? Is he gone somewhere preaching? Wow. Wow, isn't he good? Terry Edwards is gone as well. I think they knew I was coming. That's why they left. But he's doing our studies abroad. Wow. I knew Terry's daddy back when Terry was just a little bitty boy at McEwen. I want my kids to have people like that. I want my boys and girls to be trained in education and athletics by men like Steve. Wow. Faithful, dedicated, Christian teachers, and most important, examples. Well, is the theory of evolution taught at Faulkner University? Probably so, as a theory taught by creationists. And I want that for my kids. Science, we even have a law school. Y'all know about the law school? Ote knows about that. Why Christian education? Because of the curriculum. What is the curriculum of the Bible class? The Bible. I've been in the Bible building now for about 4 or 5 years, and I used to be in the business building, but I got to be moved. I love to go to lunch, you can tell that, but I mean after lunch. To walk in the Bible building and pass by the classrooms, and doors are almost always open, and hear men proclaiming God's word to young people. It's always exciting to me. I sometimes will stop and just listen. Every undergraduate that attends Faulkner University will have a Bible class every day. Chapels required every day. And while that may not by itself do anything, we now have a president that's concerned about letting this campus be a Christ-centered campus. And that's true in science, that's true in math, that's true in English, that's certainly true in your Bible college. To prepare our young people for what they'll be facing in the world, the challenges that are going on, to be Christian businessmen and women, Christian lawyers, and if all you did was come to Faulkner or a college like Faulkner and found a Christian mate, that wouldn't be bad either. Well, let me show you this and I'll be through. The home, the church, and the family, Christian education. When you put those three together, as the scripture says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. And I think they go together pretty good. And when you put them together, I didn't do that right. Well, let's try this again. Because you miss this, you'll miss the good part. Here we go. Here we go. There you go. A threefold cord is not easily broken. You put the good home with a good church, with a good school, you'll give that young person a better challenge, a better ability to cope with the world, because a threefold cord is not easily broken. But to start that kind of life, you need to be a Christian. And I'm guessing most people here are Christians. You have come in repentance, you confessed your faith in Jesus Christ, be the Son of God. You've been baptized for remission of your sins, and Jesus has added you to his church. Christian. Y'all remember when you were baptized? I do. I was 16. I knew better than what I did. The devil had a pretty good hold on me for 16 years. I remember grabbing the pew back when you used to preach, you know, and the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And sometimes we had a preacher named Bradfield come down. He'd look and point right at you. I mean, point his finger at you. You need to come. And, I'd hold on the pew. Daddy was a Bible teacher. Mom was a Bible teacher. Brought up in the church. Daddy led singing. I knew. Just couldn't turn loose. But I remember when I did. And I remember how clean I felt, how forgiven, how humble I felt after I was baptized. Y'all remember that? Is that heart still the same? That zeal we had after we were baptized to tell others about Christ is still there? Maybe it has grown cold over the years. It happens even to a church. Wasn't there a problem with the Ephesian church? They had left their first love. Can you imagine? Today we're going to sing this song to encourage you to come, be baptized, renew your life back to God, restore your life back to God. If you need to come in any way, why don't you come? We stand and sing this song of encouragement.